You may be seated. Our third case this morning is 2021-1199, Hunter Morey versus Savannah Campbell and Carol and Rick Spielman. Okay, for the appellants, Ms. Six.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice, Justices of the Court. May it please the Court, Attorney Corinne Hoover Six on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Spielman. We are here with two competing interests. On one hand, we have a child who is almost 11 years old, who has resided in part with her grandparents for 10 and a half years and full time for 9 years. We also have her maternal mother, who several years ago gave up custody of her child to her own parents and now asks this court to give her the opportunity to relitigate that whenever she feels it necessary.
Counsel, is the case actually moot?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Why? Why is it not moot? We have a certified conflict case between several different districts right now. So the 4th District and the 12th District have opined.
And Counselor, did the trial court do anything after the magistrate's decision?
After the magistrate's decision, finding that a change of circumstances was not required, our clients objected, filed a motion to set aside. The trial court then ultimately, they ended up settling the custody agreement with mother again agreeing the child would remain with our custodians.
Didn't that settlement take place before the trial court could do anything?
It did, but we preserve the issue of whether a change of circumstances was necessary for appeal. So the 9th District did then hear that, provided that we preserve that issue.
How can you preserve an issue?
We believe so. The 9th District cited a couple different case law that, in the event that normally an agreement is obviously not an appealable issue, but in the event that the parties agree as to issues of law and preserve that it is available for appellate review.
What judgment did you appeal?
We appealed the judgment of the trial court denying our motion to set aside on that issue of whether that change of circumstances was necessary.
And if we decide this case your way, how will it change the result in the present lawsuit?
How will it change the result in our present lawsuit is it will prevent the mother from continuing to refile her motions for custody.
Not going forward, but in this lawsuit.
In this case, yes. Mom has filed 4 different times since
I understand that you would like it prospectively, but how will it change the result in the present action?
In the present action is it will provide more stability for the child.
Well, it will provide more action, more stability in a future motion by the mother, but as to this dispute, what impact does our decision have?
In the event that this court finds that a change of circumstances is not required, it is our belief that mother will immediately refile.
Well, then wouldn't you litigate it at that point?
We would.
And you'd have a live controversy.
We would. However, I guess our issue is that the 9th District agreed and acknowledged that their decision at their level conflicts with the 12th and 4th District.
But that's probably our question. Should the 9th District have decided this issue? Did they have a judgment before them to decide?
They opine that they did, based on us preserving that issue for appeal in our agreed judgment entry, which disposed of the other issues of appeal except for that issue.
But reviewing courts review judgments.
Correct.
So, and you're saying that the 9th District reviewed the judgment of the trial court denying?
The 9th District reviewed, yes, the judgment of the trial court denying our motion to set aside, arguing that a change of circumstances was not necessary, and the agreed judgment entry executed by the parties, agreeing that the child would remain in the custody of grandparents, but preserving this issue for further appellate review.
And was that agreed judgment entry something adopted by the trial court?
It was.
Okay.
So you want us to decide this because it will be helpful in future cases, right? You kind of want just to give you
absolutely
advisory opinion so that the judges know from now on that they can't do this.
Not so much of an advisory opinion, but I do think that it would be helpful to litigants, to lawyers across the state now that we have this conflict. The 4th and 12th district have decided, you know, very differently than the 9th, and I think that this would not only give guidance to these parties and to this case specifically, but also to issues related to children and the custody of third parties across the state.
So I have a question about the record itself. On January 28th of 2014, there's an agreed judgment entry. It reads as if the parents adopted a shared parenting plan. The next judgment entry I have is from August 25th of 2016, which reads as a residential parent legal custodian. In between those two dates, is there an entry from the trial court terminating the shared parenting plan?
There is an entry in 2015. I don't believe it explicitly states the shared parenting plan between mom and dad were terminated, but it does indicate that father and the maternal grandparents would be joint custodians.
So I'll say it again. Is there any entry from the trial court that says they're making the declaration that it's not in the best interest of the children to work under the shared parenting plan and they terminated it?
I believe the entry says it's in the best interest of the child, but not that the shared parenting was explicitly terminated. The issue that we believe further creates the need for this court to opine on this matter is that from 2019 to 2021, 2301, which is the statute that sets forth jurisdiction between juvenile court and domestic relations court, was amended several different times. During that time, Summit County was one of the courts where the jurisdiction moved on cases of issues between non-parents, third parties, and parents moved from juvenile court to domestic relations court. 10 other counties did that at the same time. The issue that this caused, although this was certainly intentional by the legislator and by courts to move jurisdiction, is that the issue that has resulted from this is we now have a statute of 310904, which deals with change of circumstances requirement between two parents. And then we have the juvenile court statute of 2151-42, which deals with change of circumstances between a parent and a non-parent following an abuse, neglect, or dependency case. But we now have no statute that deals with this situation right here, whereas there's a parent and a non-parent but litigating in a domestic relations context. So since that statute has changed, Summit County in particular has had an influx of legal custody cases being litigated there. The case law from this court indicates that if a child is taken from the custody of a parent and given to a third party, there is an unsuitability requirement. This court's decision in Re Hochstock in 2002 indicated that there must be a finding of unsuitability prior to doing that. In practice, a lot of courts haven't necessarily done that, this case included. This case included is mother gave up custody, the parties entered into an agreed judgment entry, there was no explicit finding.
Did mother really give up custody?
She did, Your Honor. She was incarcerated for a number of years.
So she has an agreed entry.
There's an agreed entry.
She has an agreed entry with father, and it says that the shared parenting plan will continue. Both of them recognize that during the term of incarceration, that he will continue as the residential parent, and they explicitly say that upon release, both parents shall be considered the residential parent of the children. So they intended the shared parenting plan to continue. So there is no unsuitability. The trial court did not reject that. The trial court did not say this is not in the best interest of the child or children and we're rejecting this. We will not adopt this agreed entry. So no one found her unsuitable.
I agree with you. At that time, there was certainly no finding of unsuitability. However, in 2016, when the father dies, and my clients become the custodians of the child. Again, there is no finding in the record of unsuitability, but the court granted my clients custody. And then after that, mom challenged it again And the court said mom failed to prove a change of circumstances. So in 2016, the trial court was of the opinion that mom was required to demonstrate a change of circumstances and rejected her request for modification at that time. After that, however, in 2019, when mom files for the fourth time, now the court says a change of circumstances isn't required. It goes up to the Ninth District. The Ninth District says, yes, we don't require a change of circumstances, which puts it in conflict with the other districts.
So what if the entry from November of 23rd of 2015 is really another agreed judgment entry modifying the shared parenting plan, and the shared parenting plan is not terminated, and they refer to mother and father as parents, as allocating only residential parents and responsibilities to the grandparents, but they are still working under a shared parenting plan, and that plan's not terminated?
I think that that would matter, except for the fact that then in 2016, definitively, the court names my client's custodians.
So where is the finding that the shared parenting plan was terminated?
Again, there is none. Everything was done by an agreed judgment entry. However, 310904 sets forth the definitions between legal custodian and residential parent. And the fact when my clients were named as the legal custodians, by language within that statute, mom and dad ceased being legal custodians. So I would argue that under operation of law, the parenting plan was then terminated when my clients became custodians.
So, but the statute says you can only terminate a shared parenting plan upon motion of the parties and or movement of the court when the court finds it's in the best interest of the children to terminate a shared parenting plan, but there's nothing in the record doing that.
I would agree with you, except for that the 2016 order indicated it was the best interest of the child to be placed in the custody of my clients. Certainly, this issue is something that the trial courts throughout the Ninth District jurisdiction have struggled with, is that there's no guidance when a parent comes in and agrees to give up custody. This court's decision in Rehockstock indicates that prior to granting a third-party custody, there's got to be a finding of unsuitability. But the trial courts have treated that differently than when there's an agreement. And so the issue that has resulted is exactly why we're here is, great, there's an agreement at the time, but then what happens when somebody doesn't agree anymore? Is the inquiry then, mom doesn't agree anymore, she wants custody returned, and can she file those motions to do so at her choosing? Or is the inquiry, let's focus on the stability of the child?
Well, isn't the first question that the trial court has to answer when a motion is filed subsequent to a shared parenting plan being adopted, is that the first inquiry is it in the best interest of the child for the shared parenting plan to continue? Whether that's of the court's own motion or motion of either parties, but in this record, nobody filed that, and there's no clear indication from the trial court that they did that. And then when they do the judgment entry of residential parent status, legal custodian to the grandparents, they don't say that the shared parenting plan is terminated.
I agree.
It's void. So there is a vehicle within the statutory scheme that the General Assembly created to allow this. It's that nobody either asked and or the trial court didn't do it. So where does that leave this?
I believe what it leaves is still a valid order that granted my client's custody. And then thereafter, a finding that mom had not made a change of circumstances, which she never appealed. And now we're back again. So I do think that certainly as a better practice model, it would have been whether through an agreement or through the trial court's own order to have terminated shared parenting explicitly and found mother to be unsuitable in so much that grandparents were then awarded custody. But the fact that we have this is this child has been with the grandparents now for a number of years. I think the other important, crucially important matter of the case is that in this court's decision, in Ray Perales, there are multiple reasons and factors that this court has set forth for a parent to be considered to be unsuitable. One of those factors is contractually relinquishing the child, which happened here by mother signing an agreed judgment entry giving her parents custody of this child. She contractually relinquished custody.
So where's that entry? Where's that paperwork that she signed custody over to her parents?
That would be the agreed entry in 2016. Mom, when father died, mom filed for then to be named custodian. Our clients then intervened in that action, and mother was not grant, her motion to be the custodian was not granted, and in fact, our clients were awarded custody.
Was that by agreement?
By agreement, yes.
Mother and her parents?
Correct. So our position that is under this court's precedent in Ray Perales, which indicates that one of those factors of unsuitability is contractually relinquishing the child, that although not explicit in the entry, mother contractually relinquished the child by virtue of the agreed entry, not only in 2016.
The 2016 entry is not an agreed entry. The 2016 entry is a judgment entry from the court. There's a magistrate's entry after having a hearing and denying mother the motion to modify, motion for reallocation of parental rights and responsibilities was denied. This is not an agreed judgment entry. It was tried to a magistrate, and then the trial court judge adopted the magistrate's entry. So
subsequent to that, there were two different agreed judgment entries where mother filed again. They went back to court, and they ended up settling with mother agreeing the child would remain in the custody of the grandparents. So it's our position she contractually relinquished at the beginning in 2015 when she entered a judgment entry giving custody jointly to her parents and the father, then again in 2017 and 19. So it's our position that because she contractually relinquished by virtue of that agreed judgment entry on other occasions, that under the standard in Perales would mean that she is then unsuitable, and therefore the factor to change that, the inquiry to change that, should be whether there's been a change of circumstances for the child or the child's current custodian. Because of this court's decisions in Ray Braden James and in Ray CR that says that after that's occurred, after an unsuitability determination, it is then the focus on what's the best interest of the child and the child's stability. And that is our position, that right now that if this court were to not require a change of circumstances in order for mother to go back and to seek this court intervention again, that this would open the door for any parent who has previously given up custody of a child to go back then and say, 2 years, 10 years later, to say, well, now I want my child back. And we believe that that would conflict substantially with this court's precedent on saying the stability of the child is paramount. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Lysenko.
Thank you. May it please the court. John Lysenko on behalf of Appellant Savannah Campbell. The conflict before you today is a result of a statute that lacks clarity. And I think the appellee's concerns are certainly valid about children being placed in a tug of war. I'm sure they've seen it. I'm sure you've all seen it, and I've seen it. However,
hasn't the present motion been resolved, though?
Your Honor, I'm in agreement with what appellant counsel said on that issue. However, a little bit of further background I could add that might help, or maybe I can answer the question more thoroughly. There was a motion to bifurcate the proceedings in the most recent proceedings in the domestic relations court to separate it from first determining if a change of circumstances had occurred, and then if so, whether or not it was in best interest for any change to occur. The magistrate then requested that we brief the issue of whether or not a change in circumstances is required in light of the Ninth District's holding in the case INRI AM. Once The magistrate made a decision that found only the best interest of the child need be considered and that a change of circumstances wasn't required based upon In re AM. Appellant counsel filed a motion to set aside the magistrate's decision, and the trial court upheld the magistrate's decision based upon In re AM. Once we reached an agreed judgment entry to conclude the proceedings prior to the appeal filed in this case to the Ninth District, we reached an agreement that this issue would be preserved for appeal.
But parties can't agree to grant jurisdiction to a court.
Your Honor, my understanding of the situation at the time was that there being a conflict in the districts that perhaps the appellate court could still consider the issue. But well, I may very well be wrong about that.
To do that, even with the certified conflict, doesn't there have to be a certification of two different judgments? Ms. Hoover Six said that there was a judgment adopted by the trial court.
Well, I believe she was referring to the judgment the trial court made upholding the magistrate's decision, which found that a change of circumstances need not be proven. I think that's the judgment of the trial court that is at issue and that was at issue on appeal.
How would our decision here determine the case below, change anything below, in this case?
Right now, I don't think it will change anything, Your Honor.
So doesn't that make it moot?
I don't think it will settle the problems with the statute, but
I understand
our case.
I feel sorry for you because our problems with the statute. That's not.
I think our case won't start up again. There won't be any new proceedings as a result of your decision in this case. The case is over, however. With all due respect to appellant's position, I understand they're interested in not having ongoing or additional motions in the future, whether it be 6 months from now or a year from now or 2 years from now.
This decision will not stop that. You agree with me that parents have the right to file a motion to reallocate parental rights and responsibilities. That is their right under the statute to file that. It's up to the court then to decide whether there's a change in circumstances, correct?
Your Honor, I believe that in a proceeding between a parent and a third-party non-parent, that a parent can always ask for custody of their child, and I believe that that is a fundamental right that they have.
That's just the plain language of the statute. At any time, a parent or guardian may file. So this, whatever decision is rendered from this court, will not stop or usurp mom's rights to file another parental rights and responsibilities motion.
I also agree that your decision here, even if you say a change in circumstances is required, will not stop parents from filing motions, because the change of circumstances standard, although it may create some sort of threshold, is still a subjective standard that when you're a parent and, for example, your mother has your child and you were raised by that parent, you might always think you can do better. And I think you have a fundamental right in that regard to present it to the court. And there are going to be cases where people are putting a child in a position that's not a good position. That happens now, and I think it will happen no matter what this court does, unfortunately.
Mr. Lysenko, let me ask you, if we were to determine that the case is moot, is it something we should still decide in that it's an issue that is capable of repeating itself yet evading review?
I think that this is an opportunity for this court to make it clear for parents what might be required of them should they proceed. If you don't decide that the issue is moot, I sincerely hope that you agree with my side. The standard change, a change in circumstances, is subjective and it will limit courts and what they can consider. The best interest standard, on the other hand, which I would ask that you adopt for proceedings between third-party non-parents and parents who are trying to regain legal custody, will allow courts to consider any relevant factor, including a change in circumstances.
But you just said, so that would mean that the parent, and I don't know whether our deciding this case would matter, but then the parent could, every 3 months, every 6 months, every year, file the petition.
Yes, Your Honor, they could do that. And I can tell you that I've been involved in cases where I had to ask myself, is there really a change in circumstances here? But it is a subjective standard. And when you're dealing with a parent, it's very difficult to tell them one way or the other. Is this a change of circumstances? Defining a change of circumstances.
Do you agree with your friend on the other side that you are no longer operating under a shared parenting plan?
I believe that by virtue of the latest agreed judgment entry, I mean, my understanding, and I believe that of my client, is that we're operating as far as custody based upon that latest agreement that we made. It was a very difficult case.
But you're not operating under a shared parenting plan. You're now operating under residential parent status.
On a day-to-day basis, Your Honor, we are going by the latest agreement we made at the courthouse in Summit County.
I'm looking for an agreement. Do you agree with your friend on the other side that there is no longer a shared parenting plan in place? Yes or no, please.
I agree with that.
Okay. Thank you.
The statute in question, I think that even the appellants will agree that it's applicable towards parents, a parent on each side of a dispute. However, to change that to apply to something else, which is not written in the statute, I think in light of the fundamental rights of parents that are at issue here, I think that's a leap that something the legislature should be required to clarify. I also think that if we were to assume that requiring a change in circumstances of parents in this case is going to change things, I think that's speculative. I think there's going to be a lot of cases where a court is faced with a close call between a parent and a non-parent, or a grandparent, for example. And I think the courts, domestic relations courts, have the tools and means to filter out those cases where they believe a parent is simply putting this into dispute over and over because of their own issues or problems they have. I think that the domestic relations courts can apply a best interest standard, and they can still rule on the fact that they don't think anything has changed in any particular case. If they believe that someone is abusing the process or the availability of the courts to decide custody matters, I think they're going to be able to identify those things. And I would hope that their attorneys would also, but that doesn't always happen, unfortunately. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, you've used your time. You can take a minute.
Thank you. To address the issue of the change of circumstances and potentially the mootness of this case, I think it is important to point out that in this case, we were the ones that filed this motion to bifurcate the proceedings, asking the trial court to first make a determination on whether a change of circumstances was necessary prior to getting to the best interest of the child issue. I think that's the real issue that will be pertinent in this case as well as others, that if the court cuts off a case early on based on whether there is or is not a change of circumstances, the benefit that has to a child is that's a legal determination made where the child is probably unaware. In the best cases, should be unaware. The best interest portion of a hearing is typically where a child is appointed a guardian ad litem, an in-camera interview with the court is conducted, child's in counseling records and things of that nature come into play in the proceedings. And so consistent with this court's prior decisions in saying after an initial award of custody is made, we want to protect the stability of the child, that in ruling on the change of circumstances as a threshold issue, that could prevent children from being continually subjected to litigation that they would be aware of.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision.